Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, June 1st, 2015. Kenya's president facilitates the return of five of the SPLM former political detainees.
We are looking towards you to be the instruments of peace and stability in the Republic of South Sudan. War has never benefited anybody. Peace is what your people fought for their freedom for. They did not fight to shed blood.
And rebel leader Riek Machar is calling for an uprising in South Sudan.
I am asking the whole people of South Sudan to join us in declaring President Salvakir illegitimate, in declaring his government illegitimate, in declaring those governance institutions illegitimate. Because the power of legitimacy is anchored in the people of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta today launched plans to salvage the stalled South Sudan peace talks. At a celebration in Nairobi to mark 52 years of Kenya's independence, Mr. Kenyatta introduced 10 former political detainees from South Sudan who are key to his initiative to breathe new life into South Sudan's peace process. Under a sky that threatened to rain throughout the Independence Day celebrations, Mr. Kenyatta introduced 9 men and 1 woman who have come to be known as South Sudan's former political detainees. All 10 were members of South Sudan's ruling SPLM party when they were arrested in December 2013 and accused of helping to plot a coup to oust President Salva Kiir. Most of the detainees were released after a few weeks to the custody of the Kenyan authorities. Now, they are seen as a central pillar to Mr. Kenyatta's newly announced plan to revive the collapsed peace talks for South Sudan. The former detainees were introduced to a jubilant crowd in Nyayo Stadium just before 5 of them flew back to Juba to try to kickstart the peace process. Mr. Kenyatta told them the hopes of the entire region, but especially of South Sudanese, were traveling back home with them.
To our friends, we are saying we are looking towards you to be the instruments of peace and stability in the Republic of South Sudan. War has never benefited anybody. Peace is what your people fought for their freedom for. They did not fight to shed blood. They fought it to have peace and to have prosperity. And it is your responsibility as leaders to provide it. And as you move forward, you can count on Kenya, our region, and our continent's support. Don't let us down.
Mr. Kenyatta launched his initiative to revive the peace process and end more than 15 months of war in South Sudan at the end of last week. Kenyatta says neither the Addis peace talks, which regional bloc IGAD has been leading for 16 months, nor talks in Arusha, Tanzania, to reunify SPLM has yielded any substantial results. The Kenyan president's plan proposes merging those two processes and bringing together all parties to both sets of talks. South Sudan's conflict began in mid-December 2013 when fighting began in the ruling SPLM. The Kenyan Deputy President William Ruto called the former detainees neighbors and applauded their effort for peace.
These neighbors, Your Excellency, have now made a decision that they will go back to South Sudan to begin the process of assembling their country and making it possible for South Sudan and the citizens of that country to live in peace.
5 of the former detainees traveled to Juba. They will spend 5 days there on a fact-finding mission, after which they will return to Kenya and report back to President Kenyatta. Details of exactly what the 5 will do in Juba are scant, but their main mission is to jumpstart the peace process that has dragged on for nearly a year and a half, devastating the economy and destroying millions of lives. President Kenyatta says his government will form a coalition involving the entire African continent if that's what it takes to bring peace to South Sudan. But for the moment, all hopes are riding on the five detainees who are back in South Sudan to try to revive the peace process under Mr. Kenyatta's plan. Queen Makalele contributed to this report from Nairobi. Reporter Waki Simon Wudu was at Juba International Airport when the five former detainees arrived. He tells South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme that the five arrived slightly behind schedule.
I've not really seen them physically, but then I have confirmation that the five members of the SPLM former detainees, all of them 10, been led by Deng Alor, the former South Sudanese foreign minister, and some of the four members, John Luke, who was the former Minister of Justice, and the other three members, all also are previous ministers.
And is it your understanding that this is the first time they came back to Juba since the fighting broke out?
Yes, since the fighting broke out, and actually since most of them, or since all of them were released from detention after being alleged to have caused the claimed coup, or the coup that was shaped by the government. And I think this was early last year.
Right. Now, what happened after they arrived at the airport that you know? What did they do with the officials there with the South Sudan government?
Well, when I was there, of course, it's unfortunate that during the arrival, I was already not there. I was held up by security elsewhere. But prior to that, the arrangements were they were made to speak to the media support. But whether they speak or not, this is what I cannot now say. And after there, I think they were taken to one of the hotels here in Juba. But there was a popular reception, actually, for them. Okay, in terms of the government arrangement, there were several VIPs, very important South Sudanese persons at the airport, I think, during the reception. And also, security was somehow really, really, really tight.
And were you? Is it your understanding that these five detainees are supposed to play a critical role now in the forthcoming talks between the government and the opposition?
Yes, there are some unconfirmed reports that as these five members of the detainees are coming, they are expected to boost the efforts of the peace talks, especially the participation of the government and the participation of the rebels. Because there are also unconfirmed reports that they are to talk to the government. They are also to talk to the rebels. And all these efforts, I think, are geared towards strengthening the processes to achieving the peace process in South Sudan.
Is it your understanding also that IGAD is on board with this idea, with the Kenyan president, of trying to meld together the Arusha talks and these IGAD-led talks?
Well, some reports that are on ground is that I think the whole process of I think the arrival of these detainees, of course, firstly is to implement the Arusha agreement. But above all, I think it is also aimed at boosting the peace talks. One thing I did understand is that I think both IGAD and CCM, Chama Cha Mapinduzi, Tanzanian ruling party, who has been mediating the talks within the SPLM, are trying to merge all these two processes together to see whether what they can come out with, taking especially the way how the peace process had been going on for the last few months in a very cold manner.
South Sudan's rebel leader Riek Machar says he is aware of the Kenyan president's initiative to include the former political detainees in the peace effort. But Mr. Machar says the return to Juba of the five former political detainees will not change the situation in South Sudan. Machar says the Kiir administration has lost legitimacy and is calling on the South Sudanese people to rise up against the government of President Kiir.
From the very start, the idea of going to Juba before the peace agreement is signed is not tenable, is not logical from our side, because we are locked with the government in fierce fighting. So it would be very upset for us to send a delegation to Juba. But I can understand that the former detainees can go back to Juba. There is no problem on that, because since the case against them collapsed in court,
this new initiative will definitely change the formula for negotiations, because if some of these former detainees are reinstated in the party and you are going to talk face-to-face with them in the next round of peace talks, Is that what your group is ready to do?
I don't know whether they will be trusted by Juba, that they will be included in the government's delegation. But surely, once they go to Juba, their claim to be represented in the peace talks as a separate entity holds no water.
With the peace talks stalled and fighting continuing in Upper Nile, in Unity State, in northern Bahr al-Ghazal, and now in western Bahr al-Ghazal, is there any hope for peace in South Sudan?
I am always hopeful for peace, John. I love peace. I was forced into this position. It is the government that is in the offensive. It is the government that was very intransigent in the last peace talks in Addis. So I'm always hoping that peace will be negotiated on the table.
But the latest report by verification team in South Sudan say that both of you have violated the cessation of hostilities. So it's not the government attacking your position alone. You are also attacking the government position. And it implies that peace is not the interest of the two warring parties.
John, if you see the violation, the government is in record, and this is by the verification monitoring team, the government is held responsible for 30 violations. We are held responsible for 8. I think we can be excused on that.
If you are given an opportunity to speak to the South Sudanese people who are now feeling the brunt of this fighting, the economic situation is very, very bad, and WFP and other aid agencies are already saying that people are going without food. If you have any message to tell them at this time, what would your message be?
First of all, the South Sudanese people must know that Al-Bashir is not anymore a legitimate president. He is now illegitimate. His government is illegitimate. The amendments they made to the Constitution are unconstitutional. And by the way, as 21st of May, President Al-Bashir and his government are illegitimate. If we go by the Constitution, come the 9th of July, there is no legitimate government in South Sudan. I am asking the whole people of South Sudan to join us in declaring President Al-Bashir illegitimate, in declaring his government illegitimate, in declaring those governance institutions illegitimate. Because the power of legitimacy is anchored in the people of South Sudan.
And your call for uprising, will that bring an end to the conflict?
Well, definitely it will bring an end to the conflict.
How?
It definitely will bring an end.
How?
There will be no Al-Bashir as a president. The people of South Sudan will constitute an interim or a caretaker government, which will take us to elections.
But there are also other actors who are interested in different things. Let's say Johnson Oloing in Malakal told me that he is fighting to protect the Shiluk land. How would you deal with someone like that in a country where you want to election? His interest is not election. His interest is his land.
No. You are misunderstanding General Johnson Oloing. Johnson Oloing is absolutely right. Land is the people. If his people are being killed, Johnson Oloing has the right to protect them. So he's right. If he cannot protect them, if elections come and there are no people in the Chuluk land, who will vote?
That's South Sudan's rebel leader, Riek Machar, speaking via a satellite phone from Pagak in Upper Nile State earlier today. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we hear reactions from citizens about the return of the 5 former SPLM political detainees. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
who are the important people in your life and why?
My children, my parents, my husband. My husband came at the 3rd position, you see. So he's the 3rd person to arrive because I think that it's not is not a really member of my family, like my parents or my children or my brothers.
It's my parents, definitely, because they've enabled me to pursue my studies properly, in that they provide me with school fees, their welfare, whatsoever, though in difficulties because they're small learners, but I do appreciate it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese citizens in Juba, Wau, and Kampala told our reporters they welcome the return of the detainees and are optimistic that they will help to move the peace process forward.
Maureen Francis Okello. The unification will not bring peace. The reason why I'm saying so, if you look at the dimension in which the war have taken, I think the war have gone too far to the extent that even the warring parties, each person is not ready to surrender.
When these people were detained, as citizens were confused at first. So when they are back, I think the situation will normalize itself.
Mira Shola. Aya, hajaribu jibu salama sande nastana. Salam beja bira bira. Peremonja bafia.
My name is Martha Jok. Yeah, it should be good to us, the citizen, because to avoid dying every day. We need cooperation in South Sudan. That is what we need.
My name is Joseph Ngamaga Jok. I'm 52 years. Definitely, this is what we have been longing for quite a long time. Reunification will bring a better good move, and the objective that has been missed will be restored back.
My name is Daniel. Yes, according to my understanding, it will bring peace to South Sudan. Because the reason why I say like that, if they will not come back to this country, I hope the war will continue.
Lam Mario Nyak from South Sudan. They can't bring peace, by the way, because they don't have even an agenda for the peace talk.
I'm Emmanuel Turo Evans. I'm a student of media. So I do believe the coming of G10 to Juba, they will have that role of uniting the party.
My name is Zakaria Jang. I am from United States. Actually, the return of G10 for my what I realize is a little bit make change for the political bureau of SPLM, at least to make change for the civil war which is going on.
I don't think so. They are going back will bring peace to South Sudanese. Because even if the problem is started when they are there and they left, and they are going back, will not bring peace. Because the peace, if we are to get peace in South Sudan, the peace will be between the two, Dr. Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir.
I'm Akuyo Patrick Obito. Yes, because these people have been fighting for the rights of the citizens, and they are coming back. Will be a very good unit in this South Sudan.
As a citizen, I see no other reasons of the coming other than peace, discussing peace together, reconciliation, healings, giving hopes to those who have lost their last one, properties, and other things.
My name is Konbiri Achola Gim. Yes, according to me, it is because no one can solve its problem alone without someone help.
Mr. Abu Charles, it is definitely yes, when they reunite, it will bring peace, because when they started the long struggle for the 22 years, they brought peace at first. There's no reason for them to split again. So when they reunite, I think there will be peace in the country.
My name is Theo Jacob Ajak. Okay. Yes, it will bring peace in the country. It will bring peace in such a way that when these detainees, when they come in, they will work together with the government, seen they were the part of the government, and they will work together and share other things for the citizen to benefit. And to me, I think it is very crucial for them to be within the country and help the citizen and other issues concerning the government.
My name is Joseph Ngamaga Jok. I'm 52 years. Definitely, this is what we have been longing for quite a long time. Reunification will bring a better good move, and the objective that has been missed will be restored back.
Reporters Jacob Achek, Dimo Silva, and Bonifacio Taban in Kampala gathered the voices of South Sudanese. Forces allied with the SPLM in opposition, led by former Vice President Riek Machar, yesterday attacked Bazia Payam of Wau County, about 50 kilometers south of Wau town. Officials say rebel troops took half dozen government soldiers hostage and killed an intelligence officer. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Wau, The rebels briefly took control of Bazia before government forces were back in charge.
The rebels, believed to be two contingencies, launched the attack early yesterday morning, killing a Central Intelligence Department officer and wounding at least three others in Bashir, including a civilian. Authorities say the few soldiers on duty at the time were caught off guard and put up little resistance. Speaking in Arabic, Western Baal Ghazal Minister of Local Government Angelo Taban Biajo says the attackers controlled Bashir for about 2 hours.
It was about 5 o'clock when a number of rebels attacked Bashir area. They managed to control the area and forced the organized forces to leave. They took a radio from the police officer and killed a central intelligence officer and injured a woman and took 6 soldiers hostages, including 3 prison police officers. One of them is from wildlife and went with them towards the bush.
Biajo worries the rebels are planning to shut down the main road connecting Western Baal Ghazal to Western Equatoria State, cutting off all food and supplies. He says most of the civilians fled to the bush but are now returning home.
They took control of the area and looted things from the truck along Bazia Road and moved away because they were afraid. Bazia is in the main road, so the forces will follow them. Now we are in contact with the chief, and he said citizens are in the church and that the situation is normal, but some citizens are still afraid.
A civilian in the area who preferred to remain anonymous says within minutes of taking control of Bashir, the rebels called on the civilians to return to their homes, saying they were no target of their attack. He says the rebels also asked the local youth to join them. He says most of the attackers appeared to be young people from the region. Angelo Taban says the SPLA soldiers are pursuing the rebels in their hideouts, but says forces aligned with SPLA in opposition in the region have machine guns, making the mission more dangerous. Taban says while security remains uncertain at this point, since rebel groups appear to be building and rearming themselves in the bush of Wau and Raja counties. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
From where we move to Cameroon, where mass vaccination program to combat measles epidemic has started. Medics say the outbreak is getting worse because parents are failing to have their children vaccinated against the preventable disease. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
CAR's interim president, Catherine Samba Panza, says after a May summit bringing together 700 representatives from political parties and civil society groups, she believes it is imperative to give an accounting to the international community and CAR's diaspora. The gathering was intended to clear the way for national elections expected in August to end CAR's 2-year political crisis. However, Mrs. Samba Panza says humanitarian crises continue to batter her country and CAR remains far from stable despite the presence of 8,500 UN peacekeepers in Bangui.
Je suis donc allé mobiliser la communauté internationale sur la nécessité de continuer à nous soutenir pour que nous
She says the most important thing is for the international community to continue providing humanitarian and financial resources. She says without such help, it will be difficult for elections to be organized. Mrs. Samba Panza has been serving as interim president since January 2014. She says all Central Africans she met in Cameroon and other countries she visited are anxiously waiting for elections so their country can return to democratic law and put the period of sectarian killings behind them.
J'ai été très honorée par l'accueil qui m'a été réservé au Cameroun, précisément par la commune de Douala.
She says the massive turnout of CAR refugees to receive her in Cameroon's economic capital Douala is a strong indication that everyone wants peace to return to CAR so they can go back and contribute to the development of their country. Last month, the UN called on the international community to send aid to the country's population. But so far, international donors have contributed just $83 million in aid out of the estimated $604 million required. The UN reports that 460,000 people have fled CAR to neighboring countries, and an estimated 440,000 people, mostly women and children, are internally displaced. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The U.S. National Security Agency has lost the legal authority to collect telephone records after the Senate failed to agree on Sunday on an extension of several provisions put in place following the September 11, 2001 terror attacks. The once-secret program that collected information such as the phone numbers, date, and duration of calls to try to thwart suspected terrorists drew harsh criticism from Americans who said it violated their privacy. A new law already passed by the U.S. House of Representatives would modify the program to allow the NSA to request that data from phone companies on a case-by-case basis, but not collect it on its own. The first video of a French woman kidnapped in Yemen months ago surfaced on social media today, showing the distraught 30-year-old pleading with the presidents of France and Yemen for rescue. French diplomatic officials confirmed the footage of Isabelle Prime posted to YouTube was recorded in April, 2 months after she and a translator were snatched by uniformed men from a car in the capital Sana'a. The translator was later released. And finally, a spokesman for Burundi President Pierre Nkurunziza said today the government will consider a request from East African leaders to postpone this month's presidential election. The request to delay the vote by at least 6 weeks came after an emergency summit yesterday that also included a call for all parties to stop the violence that has come with weeks of protests over Mr. Nkurunziza's plan to run for a third term in office. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
And that also brings us to the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Hasada Mayako by Isaka No. 1. Isaka No. 1. Been listening to Isaka Number 1 with that song Hasada Mayako. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening and join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.